I want to talk this evening a little bit about God speaking, the way that He speaks to us. And I guess there are a number of different kinds of people in the world. There are people that don't know God exists and wouldn't think of saying that they had heard Him speak to them. And then there are those of us that say God exists and say that we hear Him speak, and yet I wonder if when we hear Him, if we listen carefully and if we obey Him as He speaks. I'm going to use as a background a little story from the 37th chapter of Jeremiah. I did a little reading, refreshing my memory about this man they call the weeping prophet. Actually, Jeremiah had a lot of reason to weep, and he was a wonderful, godly man. In the 37th chapter of Jeremiah, verse 17, then King Zedekiah sent for him, that is, Jeremiah, and had him brought to the palace, where he asked him privately, "Is there any word from the Lord?" "Yes," Jeremiah replied. Judah was a hell-bent, judgment-bound nation. And Jeremiah wasn't a very popular person during this time. The previous king, actually it was the king before the previous king, whose name was Jehoiakim, had treated Jeremiah very rudely. Jeremiah had been faithful to God, and yet he hadn't been faithful necessarily because he enjoyed preaching a faithful message, because he was going against the culture. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? We have to go upstream if we're going to follow the Lord. And in the previous chapter, gives an indication about how people receive the word of God when they don't care anything about Him. Jeremiah had received word from God on and written it on a scroll, and the Jews were very reverent in the way that they handled anything that was the word of God. And even to this day, if there's anything they save out of a fire in a synagogue, you know, they risk their lives to save the Torah. And if the Torah is in any way marred or burned, they'll have a funeral for it and weep and mourn just as though there were a burial. And yet this godless king, Jehoiakim, took the scroll of a message which he believed to have come from God. And in that 36th chapter we read where, as the scribe would read what God had said in judgment on the nation, the king just casually took his penknife and he would cut off that portion of the roll. And it was in December, our month of December. It was cold, and there was a fire pot there trying to warm the room. And as the word of God came, he would slice it off and he'd say, "That'll help us keep us warm." And he'd throw it right in the fire. The people that watched the king, King Jehoiakim, casually cut the scroll of God's message and throw it in the burning fire pot, they felt terrible, but they didn't say anything. And judgment came upon this man. This was just an indication. But here, this is two kings later. And Zedekiah had asked for prayer. We read there in the first verse, or toward the first part of the chapter, about the third verse. King Zedekiah sent a man to the priest Zephaniah with the message, "Please pray to the Lord our God for us." And here in verse 17, he'd inquired of the prophet, "Is there any word from the Lord?" And Jeremiah answered, "Yes, there is a word from the Lord. But the word that came to the king was too strong for him to bear." And as we'll see a little bit later, as we close the message this evening, we'll see that the king said, "I hear what you're saying. I believe this is God who's speaking. But don't tell anybody what we've said," and just continued on his way. There's a striking similarity, it seems to me, here to our world today. Men want the security of prayer. How many times any pastor, any minister of the gospel could tell you that when there's a family in trouble, when someone is facing a crisis, the telephone will ring and they'll say, "Would you pray for me?" And then how many times people would say, we want the comfort of God's word. And yet God cannot bless moral decay. He can't bless idolatrous worship. And God is speaking a word that for the most part people do not want to hear. And so they sift through and take out what they would like to hear. And God has a communications problem. It isn't that God isn't speaking, but people aren't listening, or they're sifting out what they want to hear. God is speaking today in this age. You say, what does God say? Of course, we could just go through the Bible and get a number of things, but I just like to lift out three things this evening that God is saying. I said this morning all sermons are divided into three parts. Now we got two this morning. God is saying the same thing tonight that he said to Moses in the third chapter of Exodus. When Moses said to God, who are you? God said to Moses, I am that I am. And God is saying to a world today that doesn't care anything about him, he's saying to you and to me, I am that I am. There is the never-changing fact of God. And somehow we get the idea because it's never been this late before. Because this is a world that knowledge doubles every few years. And somehow God is obsolete. God is passé. Knowledge has exploded. And so the fact of God is something that we analyze ourselves and we decide what God is like. But I want to tell you this evening, what you think about God is important for the effect that it has on you. But what you think about God and what I think about God don't change the fact of God one iota. For God is. And we need to hear that loud and strong. There's a sense in which I feel we can sympathize with the people of the Renaissance and the Reformation several hundred years ago, when a lot of the things that they considered that were vital and a part of their religion and a part of their beliefs about God were proved that they were wrong. And we can look back and we can sift out those things and realize that the earth isn't the center of the universe necessarily, which was a part of their faith perhaps. But the fact remains tonight that even as God was still saving people back then, God is still meeting needs tonight. God still satisfies the sin-sick soul. God forgives and cleanses and brings life in the spirit. And the world needs to hear from our lips and from our lives and by our faith this word, God is. God is not like I think he is. God is beyond all that I can say about him. But the word is still going forth. God is. I am that I am. But we don't dare to say this with our lips and then break that first commandment and in our practical living have other gods before him and deny that he is. The world needs to hear this evening. Then another thing that God is still saying tonight. He's saying, let me read it there in the first part of Isaiah, the first chapter of Isaiah, the 18th through the 20th verses. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. I could have used any other of a number of passages of Scripture. But what this Scripture says to me that God is still saying today is, I will deal with sin. I will bring judgment on all sin. And this particular passage speaks about the love of God. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. But this passage also speaks about the awful holiness of God. And the fact that God hates evil. And if we don't separate ourselves from sin, if we don't avail ourselves of God's mercy, judgment is coming. I don't believe just judgment is coming by and by either. We spoke last Sunday night about judgment, an impending judgment upon this earth. The nations that forget God will be judged. And this same passage that we quote so often, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, the whole passage says, if ye resist and if ye rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. And the world today needs to hear the message of the fear of the Lord. I don't believe the fear of the Lord is a puritanical term. And yet, it seems to me that our society is reaping a harvest of the results of tearing down of respect for the authority of God and of His Word. And finally, ultimately, we've lost respect for all authority. But as Christians, I would urge you not to be ashamed to say, I don't want to offend the Lord by the way I live. I don't live in fear and trembling of God, but I trust to God that I have a godly fear to realize that our God is not just some kind of a shapeless love, but He is holy. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And our manner of living should reflect not only the fact that we've trusted in God's love and in His grace, but ought to reflect the fact of our respect for His holiness as well. He cares about the way we live. And this message needs to go forth. It needs to go forth not only from the pulpit, because the world isn't in here listening, but we need to believe it with our hearts and with our lives and carry it out into the world. That God is going to bring judgment upon evil. And the God that we deal with is going to deal with all sin. And then the last word that I want to speak about that Jesus or God is speaking this evening is the fact that God is speaking through His Son, Jesus. I think of that passage in the second chapter of Hebrews, where the writer of Hebrews says, at present, we don't see everything subject to Jesus, but we do see Jesus. We see Jesus, and the message is going forth. God is speaking. What are you going to do with my Son? And the cross still speaks in a troubled time. Is there any word from the Lord? And the cross says, yes, there is a word. I believe, like Jeremiah, we're going to be unpopular in saying that basically our problems are spiritual. And until we've confessed and forsaken our sins, and until we're living in faith in Jesus Christ, we're a part of the moral problem of our age. But the final word from the Lord today is, have you received my Son? Will you take up your cross daily? Will you put Jesus first in your life? You know, when we do, we stop being a part of the problem and we start becoming a part of the solution. You can't let Jesus live in you and be central in your life and put Him first without God beginning to speak through you. You say, I've never preached a sermon in my life. I never intend to. But how do you think God speaks? If God ever reaches this world, it's not going to be from the pulpit, from within the church. But it's going to be because God's people have answered this question. Have you received my Son? Will you take up your cross daily? Will you follow Jesus? And that word needs to be heard today. I'm not saying we're going to see a great revival. I trust we will. I believe in my heart, deep down in my heart, God wants to do some wonderful things in New England. We mentioned last Sunday night, the fellowship that I pray with every Friday, made up of just a cross-section of evangelicals, has a vision that God wants to do something right here on the South Shore in Quincy. And that excites me. 2 weeks from Tuesday night, we begin a revival here in this room. And some of those men are going to be here. Their doctrines may be a little different, but they love Jesus, and they're going to come here and support us. Why? Because they believe God wants to do wonderful things. But if this South Shore hears, if your neighbors hear, it will be because you've heard. Let Jesus live. Zedekiah clearly heard Jeremiah. Turn back there to that passage. We were in the 37th chapter. Later on in the 37th chapter, Jeremiah was going out of town to take care of some business. The tide of battle had turned, and he had some property outside of Jerusalem, and he was going to take care of that property, and some of the enemies of God and his enemies jumped on him and said he's deserting, and they threw him in prison. And people were seeking his life, and King Zedekiah, this good friend of his that wanted to know, is there any word from the Lord, said in chapter 38, verse 5, he's in your hands. The king can do nothing to oppose you. He's been faithful, and he's up to his armpits in slime down at the bottom of a cistern. But that's a part of another adventure. They finally brought him up, and Zedekiah sent for Jeremiah. And he says in verse 14, I'm going to ask you something. Don't hide anything from me. And Jeremiah said, if I give you an answer, you'll kill me. Even if I did give you counsel, you wouldn't listen to me. Zedekiah said, as surely as the Lord lives, I'll neither kill you or hand you over, and so on. And so Jeremiah gives it to him straight. He says, your only hope, your only prayer is to call on God, to throw yourself on his mercy. Everything is lost unless God moves in. Verse 24, Zedekiah said to Jeremiah, don't let anyone know about this conversation, or you may die. I'm going to take my chances. He heard the word of the Lord. He understood it, but the price was too high, and he thought he'd take his chances. I want to tell you, God's word came true. Jeremiah's prophecy began to come true immediately. King Zedekiah tried to escape, and he was captured. The last thing he ever saw was his children being slain before his eyes. They made him watch, and then they gouged his eyes out and carried him off to Babylonian captivity, where he died. You say, isn't that a thrilling ending to a message? But you know, it's a serious thing when God speaks. This is a real war that we're in, with real bullets and real wounds. And it pays to listen to God. It pays to change relationships, or pay any price, or give any cost. I want to say God is speaking to the world today. And God is speaking to you and to me today. If you'll listen, if you'll tune in, God has a word for each of us. I want to ask you this evening, will you gladly receive your Thus Saith the Lord? It doesn't end with getting right with God, but that's where it begins. If you've got a sin problem, if you're not justified, if you're not in a right relationship with God, the word for you this evening is confess your sins. Give up your rebellion. Let Jesus come into your heart. You've heard it, some of you, since you're little children. It's an old message and a simple message. God is speaking, and it's a serious thing when God speaks. Then the word for believers tonight is something, it's not new. But the word to you is that you need to be filled with the cleansing fullness. You need to have a double mind made single. You need to surrender the keys to all the kingdoms of your heart and of your life. And you've heard this over and again, but it's a serious thing when God speaks. And you need to come to grips with the Word of God. But that's not where it ends either. I think as I grew up in the Church of the Nazarene, I thought that was it. If I got saved and sanctified, then I could build my little house and put my picket fence around it, and I could live happily ever after. But that's just the beginning, too. Because God says, I want to speak through you. Every Christian has a share in proclaiming God's word. You say, I can't win the world to the Lord. I know you can't. I can't either. I haven't made a very big splash in 23 years in the ministry. But you know, we've all got neighbors and we've got friends and roommates. And they may not hear God's word unless you give it to them. I don't mean by preaching. But I mean by letting the word of God live in your heart. And by our lives declare God is. And then as the Holy Spirit gives us grace by our words to declare Jesus is Lord. Is there any word from the Lord? Yes, there is. Will you answer God's call?